Luke chapter number 5. Luke chapter number 5. Really enjoyed the book of Luke thus far. It's really been helpful in my life. I trust it's been helpful in yours. Last week we started Luke chapter 5 verses 1 through 16, and we got about halfway through, and then I decided to stop. I didn't go all the way down for a reason. I didn't think I had enough ample time to cover the next portion there, and then maybe that this might be the day you get out of 12-4. 11-4. Yeah, 12-4. Who knows? We'll see what the Lord wants us to do about that. There was a child in Sunday school class enjoying herself, and after church, her mother was talking to the little boy about it and asking about what they were doing in Sunday school class, and the little boy told his mom, "Well, we sung a nice song I really enjoyed." She said, "What's the name of it?" She said, "A cross-eyed bear named Gladly." And the mom started pondering, what on earth kind of Sunday school teacher do we have in there? And then it crossed her mind after thinking about it, "Gladly, the cross-eyed bear." You see how little kids get all mixed up singing about a cross-eyed bear named Gladly. Appreciate you laughing. I know it wasn't funny. But I like it. What made me think about that was Brother Johnson said he's getting his boys ready to sing. And they've been practicing up there in the class. So that'll be good. We'll get them boys up here and they'll sing a special for us one morning. And Wednesday night, Emily's going to play her violin for us. And y'all won't miss that. Tonight, Brother Muscott and his family will be back and they'll sing two or three songs for us tonight, and we'll enjoy them. Well, I sure enjoy the music today. When we get to verse number 5, let's all read it together, okay? Verse number 5, we'll read down to verse 16. Luke chapter 5, verse number 1. "And it came to pass, that as it was upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret, and saw two ships standing by the lake. But the fishermen were gone out of them, and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed to him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep, and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answered, saying unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And when they had thus this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. Simon Peter saw it, and he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of the fishes which they had taken." Verse 10. "And so it was also James and John, sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. And it came to pass, when he was in a certain city, behold, a man full of leprosy, who seeing Jesus fell on his face and besought him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And he put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will. Be thou clean. And immediately the leprosy departed from him. And he charged him to tell no man, but go and show thyself to the priest, and offer for the cleansing according as Moses commanded, for a testimony unto them. But so much the more went there a fame abroad of him. And great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed by him of their infirmities. Verse 16. And he withdrew himself into the wilderness and prayed. I sure have enjoyed it, and this passage, particularly last week, was really encouraging to me to be able to read and study and to prepare for it and get ready. We see Jesus still here in Galilee, and he's preparing himself to call out his first disciples there to be fishers of men. And then he demonstrates to them his power over nature and over diseases. And I'll tell you, that's the kind of God we serve. We serve a God with power. God that's capable and able to keep families strong and together, to keep teenagers pure and holy and righteous. A God that's able to help a church to be able to reach its community and to honor him with outreaches that are pleasing and biblical. It's very important that we stay biblical, especially this day and age which we live in. Everything I see around us is so secular. Even our church service have become secular in its view on how to reach people. I told you one time of a little flyer I got. It came in the mail, and it said 42 ways to reach 42 converts in 42 weeks. And I guess it gives you 10 more weeks to keep them around. I don't know, what the whole deal was, but we're always trying to get these little catchy terms and catching ways, instead of just doing what the Bible says to do. We need to be very careful that we do stay biblical in our ministries here at the church, that we may be able to reach people and ground them in the doctrines and teachings of the Word of God. We saw last week that Jesus took the Word of God and ministered to the people. His message was solely that, in verse number 3, was of the Word of God, that he might teach them and show them. Verse 1, that they might hear the Word of God. Why? Because faith comes by hearing by the Word of God. He taught them just as they were available, they also had to be directed by him. It's not enough just to be available. You have to be directed. You have to heed to the direction. So a lot of people say, here am I. What do you want me to do? And when the Lord says do this, they're not willing to do that. They're willing to hear, to surrender, or to commit, I should say. They commit a little bit. Lord, I'm here. The Lord says do this. There's no following of that direction. Well, they followed immediately. Yes, it was delayed disobedience. Yes, it was. Nevertheless, Lord, I've told and I've tried all night. Hey, he was willing to allow his failures, because that's what it was. A fisherman that fished for a living, who brings nothing in, has failed. He was willing to allow his failures to be taken by the Lord and allow the Lord to overcome those failures. He went out, he disobeyed. The Lord said, take the nets and let them down. He let one net down, and we saw the blessings of God on that. He understood that after that, that hey, I think immediately he knew. How do you know that? Because it said he fell at his feet. He said, depart from me, Lord. Depart, I'm a sinful man. Now, I'm telling you, dear friend, we got to understand something that we need to know more than anything in life, that we're absolute nothing and Jesus is everything. I mean everything in our lives and in our business, in our church, in our relationships. Jesus is our everything. And then he called them out to be fishers of men. Said, fear not. Hey, in other words, Peter, Simon, it's okay that you didn't obey. From this day forth, you're going to catch me. And that's what the ministry is about. We're in this for men, women, boys, and girls. We're in this that we might reach them with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that Christ may grasp their life, and the Holy Spirit of God may convince
convict them of their need of a Savior. It's all about catching men.
And he was able to get their attention, and so much it said there in verse number 11. When they brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. That's the attention that God needs in our life. He needs us to listen to what he's directed, follow through on that direction, and forsake all. Sin, self, flesh, relationships, appetites that derive into our flesh and take us away from God, we're to lay them aside and we are to follow him. And I'm going to tell you, dear friend, listen, it's not an easy road. It's not an easy thing to lay aside the flesh and say, flesh, I am going to seek and to search after that which is important. That is the things of Christ. That is the things of God. That is seeking first the kingdom of God. Hey, listen, didn't have to be a fearful time in your life. They were fishermen. That's all they'd ever known. That's all. That was their living. That was their livelihood. The Bible says when they came forth, in verse number 11, they brought the ships back to land. They said, well, we need to put a for sale sign on the ship. Well, you know, we need to go down to the fishing market and find somebody else to lease out this boat. Well, we need to find somebody that we might sell our goods. Now, listen, all that may have happened. All of it may have happened. They were smart men. They were men of intelligence. They were men that had common sense. So they very well may have sold their boats. They may have sold their nets. They may have put it forth. They may have left it right there for whoever walked by, and they could have, may have put a note on there. Free for the taking. We don't know what they did. We do know that they followed him. We need to quit worrying about that which we do not know and pay attention and heed to that which we do know. Because some of us are stuck on this thing that if I can't see what God's doing, then I'm not going to follow what God's doing. Well, dear friend, there's many times in your life that you're not going to see unless you are obedient to the revealed Word of God. It's here for a reason. And it's not here to be a what they call it, a paper wind catcher, a block, what they call it, paperweight. It's not here for a paperweight. It's not here that we might pick it up and blow the dust off every now and then. It's not here that we might pick it up and sling at our spouse when we're in an argument. It's not here that we might just have another book on the bookshelf. It is here that it may enter into our lives and it may help us to draw nigh to God. They follow him. Now, you can spend all day long, if you want, trying to figure out the in-between-the-line stuff. But I'm going to tell you, the best place to be is to follow him. And if you follow him, he will figure out and take care of the in-between of the line stuff. A whole lot better. Because well, we try our plan B's, our plan C's, our plan G's, and before long we run out of the alphabet and we're like the roads up in Missouri. I don't know if you've ever been to Missouri. You go to Missouri and you got highways. AA, highway. And you go down about 4 miles and there's TT highway. Why didn't it become BB? AA, BB. No, it's TT and ZZ and CC and XA. And it gets crazy up there. And I'm going to tell you, friend, if you don't watch out and you're not careful, you'll be looking for the in-between line stuff and you'll miss God. Hey, he has written. And in that which is written, we may know and understand our God. We don't have to search between the lines to know our God. Verse 12. It came to pass when he was in a certain city. Isn't it amazing that there's places in our life that God desires for us to be? Give an example, Pastor. Well, whenever it didn't rain 3.5 years there in the land of Israel, drought was coming up. Elijah was told to go somewhere, to a particular brook in a particular place. There was plenty of brooks. He could have went to any brook he had chose. But God said a particular brook. When the brook dried up, God said, go to a widow's house. I assure you, dear friend, there was more than one widow in the land. And guess what? If he'd have went to the wrong widow, he would have missed it. He went to where God desired. Hey, when Jesus rose from the grave on the mount there, he met with the disciples on a particular mount, in a particular place. Now, I'll tell you something, dear friend. There is particular things God has and particular places that God has for you to be and to do, and they're only for you to do. And if it's for you to do, then you need to be in that certain place. Verse 17 is helpful. We're going to pick that up last week, and it says in verse 17, it came to pass on a certain day. A certain place. You understand something, dear friend? If God asks you and directs you and gives you a place of service, and you're not in that place of service, and God has preordained and brought somebody down a path that you and only you were meant to minister. And said, well, you're limiting God. Oh no, we have a sovereign God. What I am saying, you are guilty of disobedience. God will still care for the lost. God will still work out that that person hears the message of Christ. God will still work out that that person who he had crossed your path hears the message. But you, as the one not in a certain place, will be the one that will stand at the bema seat of Christ and look God in the eye and say, I was out of place. Because God's not ever out of place. God has a certain place for you, dear friend. Jesus found a certain city, a certain place, a certain day. He was there. And what did he find? All he found was old leper. Just an old, sinful leper. Just a leper. I'm going to tell you, church, you and I, before we got saved, we were no better off than this leper. No better. And I'm so thankful that on that day that I was in that place, in that city, in that time, that the Lord Jesus Christ saw fit to send somebody my way to share with me the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, so that on a certain day, I met Jesus as my Savior. Leprosy, dear friend, was regarded as some loathsome, horrible, terrible disease that existed in several and various forms, and it was a foul and unclean state. The Bible talks about them having to wrap the sores to cover up. The Bible talks about them being outside of the camp. They could not be around people when people would come by and they would enter the pathway. They would have to cover their face, cover their mouth, and they'd have to cry, unclean, unclean, unclean. Listen, a leper was an outcast. Do you understand? Because all men were born sinners. All men before God that live today and in time past and in time future will be and are and will always be born sinners in need of a Savior. We are outcasts. We are no different than, oh, preacher, listen, I go to church. Oh, preacher, I'm a good boy person. Oh, preacher, listen, I don't fool around. Hey, preacher, listen, I sing to the choir. Preacher, hey, look at me. I teach golf. I teach in Boy Scouts, Girl Scouts, preacher, I'm at home, and I'm always providing for my family. Dear friend, it is not an outward thing that makes us an outcast. It is a sin problem in our life that makes us an outcast. It's not what we do
or don't do, it is that we are born in this world a sinner in need of Christ. Not by works that any man can boast. But there's a lot of folks can boast. I mean, there are some folks in this world can toot their horn and talk spiritual all day long, but their heart's far from God. Far from God. I mean, just out there. Listen, isn't it just amazing? If you look through Scripture, you see it. You go over to Leviticus 13, read about it. In 2 Kings, you look at, the Assyrian man who got cleansed of leprosy. You look at it, you study it, and it's just an emblem. An emblem of sin. Just to look at it. Hey, that is how we look before a holy and righteous God. It's not that I was born in a certain place, I was from a certain family, certain skin color, certain creed, a certain location in this world where I was born. The fact remains that all men, no matter where they're from, south, north, east, west, all around this world, everyone is in the same state. You know what, preacher? I don't smoke crack. I'm a Sunday school kid. You still need to be saved just like that one that smokes crack.
Amen.
You still need Jesus in your life. And here's this letter. Here he is, Jesus going to a certain city. If nobody else was excited, there was a letter that was excited. If nobody else in the city, nobody else in the neighborhood, nobody else that passed by and took the track, nobody else wanted to hear the message, there was a letter. See, it's not about the multitudes that we see saved. It's about our ability to propagate the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and allow the Holy Spirit of God to convict hearts so that maybe one hears the message. Well, how do you know he heard the message? Because Jesus told him, don't go nowhere and tell nobody. Go straight to the priest, bring your cleansing, follow the commandments. Nowhere in there said he went to the priest. I believe he probably did. He had to go back. He had to follow. He had to live in that community. The only way to do it was to follow the. But somehow or another, like it says in verse 15, but as much the more went there a fame abroad of him. How did it happen? Somebody was excited. Somebody got touched by Jesus. Somebody realized that, hey, they were a sinner, and the only one that could help was the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to tell you, dear friend. The law cries out condemnation. The law tells me that I am condemned. The law teaches me that I cannot meet the standard of God. But the message of Christ, mercy and grace and hope through the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, dear friend, I'm going to tell you, listen, all the sacraments could not remove leprosy. Matter of fact, he couldn't even get to the temple. He was not allowed near the city. There was nothing he could do ceremonially to remove the leprosy. But mercy and grace met him in a certain city. Okay, church. There's houses all around us. You get out here, you get around. Is that preacher saying nobody listen? Nobody wants to hear a knock on the door. How do you know? When's the last time you knocked? How do you know nobody? When's the last time you passed out a gospel tract? When's the last time you took and kept a tract with you? And when you saw somebody, said, listen, I'd like to talk to you a minute and invite you to our church. And more important than that, I'd like to see you know Jesus, your personal Lord and Savior. How do you know that nobody wants to hear unless you are busy trying? You cannot make an assumption. I'm going to tell you something, dear friend. It's going to rain within the next 3 weeks. I'm not walking around with an umbrella out and open, hoping that I don't get caught in the rain. Somebody's going to reject the message. But I'm not going to stay at home, and I'm not going to stay hidden, recluse from sharing the gospel message, hoping that I'm the one that they don't receive it from. I would much rather be rejected of men than rejected of God. Amen. I would much rather be in a certain place, certain neighborhood, a certain house, a certain gas station, and offer a gospel tract. I would much rather be about the business of, listen, it's all about catching men. All about catching men. The Bible says in verse 15, but so much more went their fame abroad of him, and great multitudes came together to hear and be healed by him of their infirmities. Church, there's hurting people. There's people hurting all around us. I mean, they're hurting emotionally, physically, spiritually, financially. They're hurting. They have infirmities. And this world offers no hope. Offers no hope. I'm going to tell you, the message they need is the message of redeeming grace. The message that needs to be spread is that message of redeeming grace. There was nothing that could help. Nothing that could help this leper. Nothing at all could do anything for him. And he said this to Jesus, Lord, if thou wilt. Verse 12. And what did Jesus say? Verse 13. Halfway through, I will. So it's not whether or not they will hear the message, it's whether or not we will offer the message that they have opportunity to hear Jesus say, I will say. I will cleanse you. I will redeem you. I will. And then in the midst of all of this, verse 16, and he withdrew himself into the wilderness and prayed. He just called out his first disciples. There were so many people gathered around the ship and around the lake that he had to ask to be put in the ship and to go out. He gets out of the ship, calls his disciples. They forsake all. They're following him. He goes to a certain city. He cleanses the leper, heals him. The leper does what he's supposed to do, and then more, because he spreads the message abroad. And all this multitudes came. And in the middle of that, Jesus withdrew himself and prayed. Isn't that amazing? I think about this. All this going on, all the greatness going on, all this here is healing of infirmities and calling of people out of the ministry, and he withdrew himself into the wilderness and prayed. If the Lord Jesus Christ needed to pray for you, if he needed to come apart from this world and spend time in prayer, because the work of the ministry was great and waited upon him, do you think you and I do not need to withdraw and come and pray? What is prayer? We're entering into heaven. Which I've never entered into heaven, but I don't know who you pray to. Because the Bible says, come boldly to the throne of grace. That's up there with God. Maybe the problem is when we're praying, we're not really meaning to get to heaven. We're not really meaning to reach into the heavens. Maybe it's just an outward show. Maybe it's just, well, I'll just spend a little bit of time in prayer just to appease conscience. I'll make sure people know that I do pray a little bit. Hey, it's talking to God. It's spending time with God. It's spending time with Him. And if our Lord Jesus, in the midst of all that was going on in His life, saw the need to come apart and to pray. Dear friend, I'm going to tell you, you and I better find a place to pray. We better find a place to get on our face and our knees before God that we may enter into Him. Why? Because the work of the Lord brings weariness. And the only way to keep going is on the moaning moments. Down on your face before God that we may pray and ask and deal with God that He might help us to be successful in His eyes. In His eyes. Dear friend, I don't know about you. You're standing here this morning thinking that you don't have no need of God in your life, no need of prayer in your life, or your prayer life is just neglected and it's just nothing. You need to have a talk with God. You need to spend a little time with God and say, God, is it really that important that I talk to you? I'm here to tell you that you will find that He says it's much and great importance for you to spend time with Him and pray. It's where we get our strength, where we get our energy, it's where we get our encouragement, it's where we get to talk to our heavenly Lord and Savior. And He withdrew Himself into the wilderness and prayed. That verse is just amazing to me. It kind of don't even look to me that it, in my human thought, that why is it there? Shouldn't it have been somewhere else? But God don't make mistakes with His Word. Hey, men that translate and retranslate and reproduce, they may take away and put here and put there where they want, but God put it where He wanted it to be, and He meant for it to be there that you and I might understand prayer is important. Amen. Let's stand to our feet. Heads bowed, eyes closed. My friend, if you're here without the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, I would ask you, please, allow us to take the Word of God, show you from the Bible how you can know that you have a home in heaven. There is absolutely no ritual, nothing that our church can do physically for you but show you what the Bible says. And allow you the opportunity to see what God says in the Word of God about you being a sinner, about your sin having a penalty, and that penalty being eternal separation from God forever. But there's a gift of God through the Lord Jesus Christ, a faith in your heart, believing on Him, turning from yourself and your ways. It is written that you can know that you have eternal life. I beseech you and beg you to come. I'll be waiting down front. We'll take the Bible and show you. Dear friend, if you're not praying, you're not seeking God's face, you're not trying to be a fisher of men, not trying to catch, I come and say, God, help me. I'm sorry. Please help me, Lord, to be a better fisher of men. Page 165. 165, church.